This message is provided by Bridgeway Community Church. Thanks for tuning in.
Well, good morning, Bridgeway. It's great to see you here today. My name is Pastor Ron. I want to warmly welcome you, and especially this is first Sunday in the new year, so let me say happy 2026 to you, and it's just good to be together. In fact, I haven't seen you since, well, last year, ha-ha, dad joke. Haven't seen you since Christmas Eve, and I just got to say, just way to go, Bridgeway. I was so blown away, so blessed by the ways in which you just, you packed this place, you filled this place, you invited family and friends. We had, honestly, we had kind of a record crazy crowd at 4 p.m., another very full house at 6 p.m., and so just a blessing to celebrate the birth of Jesus as this church. But I wanted to do this. I know this is a little late, but it's the first time I've had a chance to do this. I really thought our worship team just did an outstanding job. Charles and the team, can you put your hands together and just thank them for the ways in which, yeah, they just led us so, so well. Such a joy, such a blessing to be a part of. I hope you had a great Christmas. I really did. In fact, a couple things in our house. Many of you know I've got three kids that are in the military, and Sean and I had kind of resigned ourselves to the fact that one of our kids just wasn't going to make it home, wasn't working out, and we sat down to eat dinner for Christmas, and lo and behold, the door opens. My son, Bryson, and his wife, Lainey, came walking in the door, and so, of course, all my kids knew that this was going to happen. They pulled it over on Sean and I, and we were just so grateful for that. And then if that wasn't enough, on New Year's Day, my military daughter, Aislinn, she got engaged, so we're going to have a wedding in our family. Thank you for that. Thank you so much. Just kind of, you know, kicking off the year with a bang in the Albach household. And I say those things because I realize that when we come to a conversation like this, maybe the first conversation in the new year, I'm always reminded that when we start the new year, not everybody is at the same place. And I just shared a couple of highlights, things going on in my life. You may have some really cool things, highlights going on in your life. You might be here this morning. You might just be pumped and energized. I don't know what it is for you. Maybe you set some goals. You made some resolutions. Whatever it is that just kind of gets you out of bed in the morning, and you're pumped, you're energized to get after those in 2026. I also realize some of you might be here, and you might be, I don't know, a little melancholy this morning. Maybe the new year hasn't started off great. Maybe you're a little fearful. You're looking at things that you've got on the calendar this coming year, their appointments, their meetings, their doctor visits, and they already just have you a bit unsettled. Maybe you're kind of just in this recovery mode from the holidays. Maybe you had to travel. Maybe you were in airports. You've got young kids. Maybe you were hosting a big gathering at your house. And all of that, it takes its toll. In fact, the holidays, they're a lot. They're a lot to get through. There's a lot on your credit card you got to maybe deal with now. There's just all of that. And maybe more than the physical drain of the holidays, it's just good to acknowledge that there's a mental strain from the holidays. And so I thought it would be good as we kind of kick off this new year to talk about some of the things that we just carry between our ears, and really to kind of use this time to kind of just detox, just kind of work out some of the thoughts, the bad thoughts, that kind of get caught in our brain, and to spend some time actually thinking about what we're thinking about as followers of Jesus Christ. In fact, it's a bit of a companion series. Some of you might kind of make this connection. Last month in December, we talked a lot about putting off bad behaviors, putting them to death, actually, just getting rid of those behaviors in our lives. And this series, we're going to deal with not our bad behaviors, but specifically our bad thoughts. And this is my intention to be kind of really caring for your spiritual and your formation of your soul. And so that's what we're about for the next couple of weeks, talking about kind of getting clean, getting a brainwash. Let me just kind of ask you the question, show of hands, how many of you like clean things? I'm not saying you're a clean freak, but you just like clean things. I'll give you a list of things. How many of you like clean dishes, like right out of the dishwasher? Not saying you like emptying the dishwasher, but you just like, you know, clean dishes out of the dishwasher. How about this? clean clothes that come out of the dryer, that smell of detergent. My wife loves that smell. Here's one. Maybe some of you will relate to this. How about car lovers in the room? How many of you like a really clean car? Tommy's, run it through the car wash, or maybe it's Mister, and you just get it nice and shiny. Get that kind of that layer of salt and grime off your car, whatever it is. Could you imagine for a moment if you never washed your dishes? Like, you know, you took that plate and it's got a dried piece of mushroom on it, and you got to eat your next meal on top of that, or you never washed your clothes, or you never washed your cars. You would say, oh, that's gross. So let me ask you, when was the last time you washed your mind? And you probably don't realize it, but this is actually part of what we need to do in life, because our mind becomes this place where a lot of things kind of just get trapped. And your mind can be a place where these thoughts will actually dictate how you feel. Your thoughts will influence your emotions. Your emotions will influence your decisions. You ever make an emotional decision and then regret it later, like an emotional purchase? We do it all the time. And then those decisions that you make will shape the direction of your life. And if you have enough direction in your life, that becomes the sum of who you are and the life that you live. And so as we kind of kick off 2026, I believe this so strongly. I believe, in fact, you can argue with me afterwards. I'll arm wrestle you if you disagree with me on this one. Like, I really believe this strongly. Here's the kind of the premise of this entire series that we're about to begin. If you want to change your life, you don't start with willpower. You don't even start with resolutions. You start by changing your thinking. Oh, I could never get in shape. I could never make friends. Well, no, not with that kind of attitude. Of course you couldn't. You have to first change your mind. And I'll tell you, this is really, really hard work to do. In fact, it requires a lot of concentration to change your thinking. Now, we're going to talk a lot about bad thoughts, but even just neutral thoughts or even good thoughts at times can be hard to get out of your mind. I'll give you an example of how this can work. In fact, let me show you something. Let me show you a picture of this white bear. This white bear was the project or product of a huge study that was done by psychologists. They did a study. This is actually called the ironic process theory. And what they would do is they would show a picture of a white bear. In fact, this is kind of coming out of Professor Daniel Wegener and his work at Harvard. And he would put a picture of a white bear on the screen, and he would talk about the white bear habitat and the white bear diet. And just when the person was kind of about to ask a question, he would take the picture away. And then he would say to the individual, now try not to think about the white bear. And right now, try to do that. Try not to think about the white bear. And the person sitting across from Professor Wegener would actually have a bell. And every time they thought of the white bear, they would have to ring the bell. He did this with thousands of people, and he found that most people could not go 30 seconds. Some of you are like, why did he have to say white bear? That's all I can think about. In fact, they found that the harder you try to not think about the white bear, the more that white bear is just kind of coming at you. It's going to, like, get you. I'm just kidding. That's actually not true, but kind of interesting to think about. They did find that it's harder to not think about it, and it became kind of this line of reasoning that you cannot think your way out of bad thoughts. It's not just something that you can, well, try harder. And I want to say that because this is not a series on just, well, try harder in your thought life. You actually have to get washed, get clean, get these thoughts out of your brain. And again, we're talking about a white bear. Obsessing over a white bear isn't really that big of a deal. But what about the thought that gets up in your brain that really derails you and really sends you down a spiral? Those are the ones that we have to deal with. Let me just tell you this about your brain. The thoughts that you rehearse are the thoughts that will win. Those are the ones that will kind of lodge themselves. Your brain, your mind, is not neutral territory. It is being shaped every day, kind of like a battlefield. And every day, what you scroll and what you watch and who you listen to, They found that even the conversations that you maybe aren't a part of, but you just observe, you just watch them ping pong back and forth, all of that begins to shape your thought life. Maybe most impactful, though, are the conversations that you have when no one else is around. It's the conversation that you have internally in your mind. It's when you are talking to yourself. It's those thoughts that are most shaping. And that's the type of talk and the toxic type of thoughts that we want to deal with in this series. A lot of this is based on some work that I've been kind of researching by Dr. Les Parrott. In fact, Dr. Les Parrott found through his work as a counselor, he found that you could really boil down the top five toxic thought patterns of people into five categories. In fact, they'll come up on the screen here, and we'll walk through each one of these. He has researched and counseled and sat with literally thousands of people as a Christian counselor. Really helpful guy, great guy, actually. And he's come up with these five, what he calls talks that go on in our head. And I'll walk through each of these. The first is what he would call needy talk. Now, needy talk is kind of this reality that it's okay that you want, that people like you, but it's not okay when you need people to like you. Because if you need someone to like you, you'll actually go down this path of just becoming a people pleaser. What do I have to do to get that person to like me and accept me and include me? And it's this needy talk narrative that will get running through your brain. The other is what he would call an insecure talk. And this one is really kind of important because insecurities can come from all types of incidents and occurrences in life. A lot of times they can trace your insecurities back to childhood, issues of rejection, issues of trauma, things that are really important. But what they end up doing is they steal your courage and they really stop the faith development in your life. Third on the list is kind of a pattern of entitled talk. It doesn't look anything else like the others on the list because entitled talk is sort of this idea that you deserve, that you're entitled to, that you are the privileged one. And that little conversation kind of goes off whenever you hear other people talk, and you can maybe tend to be a little judgmental or even a little bit critical of other people because you're not getting the attention that you feel you deserve. Next one on the list is unlovable talk. You maybe have felt this, or maybe you've experienced this in conversations with others. This has to do with someone who just cannot feel loved or accepted. And you could be talking to this person saying, hey, I'm here for you. I'm your friend. And then the person kind of repeats back to you, well, nobody loves me. Nobody likes me. Hey, but I'm here. I'm invested in you. And this person just has this block, this voice has just kind of developed this thinking in them that they're not loved and not even loved by God. This last one, unworthy talk, is sort of this idea where we really get guilt to initiate from. Unworthy talk oftentimes has to do with our mistakes, the things that we did where we messed up, blunders, and sometimes they can even be mistakes that really happened or just things that we imagined. Oftentimes, if you talk to someone long enough and you say, hey, tell me the top five things that come to mind that you did in your life and the top five things that you made mistakes on, usually it's easier to come up with that list of the things that you've made mistakes on. And it's just, again, this narrative that gets built over and over in your mind, and it fuels this level of guilt. Now, I'll save you the reading of the research, but what Dr. Les Parrott found is that everybody, even the most healthy of people, have at least one of these talks going on in their brain. Now, you may feel like, hey, it's a zoo. I've got all five of these conversations going on in my brain, and that's okay. But you likely have at least one dominant talk that tends to fill up this toxicity in your brain. And that's what we want to deal with in this series. We want to wash that thought completely from your brain. And so each week, we're going to deal with one of these. In fact, today, what I thought I'd do in the time remaining is we deal with this last one on the list, because this is one that I've had to work through, still working through in my life, with just unworthiness, unworthy talk that you tend to just have going on in your brain. In fact, unworthy talk kind of looks like this. If only, and I should. Now, I should actually begin this by saying, you know, this is kind of the idea of trips. We go on trips all the time, right? Go on a good road trip. go on a good round trip? Who wants to go to an all-inclusive trip? And then it's this one, guilt trip. Like, who wants to go on a guilt trip? Well, the words, if only, and I should, are recipes to pack your bags for a guilt trip. They really are. These two little phrases can absolutely ruin and seal the deal on regret in your life. If only. Now, this may not be true for everyone, but people oftentimes will say things when they get older like, if only we had had more kids, or if only we had had less kids. Hopefully they don't say that. If only you had taken that job offer. If only we had invested earlier in life. And again, some of these things, they may be very true that you should have done in your life. But the narrative just keeps repeating itself. If only I'd done more. If only I'd been a better son, been a better daughter, been there for my parents before they had passed away. And this over and over, if only, and it's all things that you cannot change. And here's the deal, when you make these statements in your brain, what it does is it's robbing the future of a past that you could never change. And it's where it's incredibly destructive and unhealthy for your thought life. The same is true with this other phrase, I should. But I should has another danger to it, and it's the danger of needing to be perfect. This is where I struggle. Want to be perfect, want to get things right, to a fault sometimes. And you can just kind of beat yourself to death with these sort of statements. I should be a better friend. I should never fail. I'm at a point in my life I should never have done that. And you say these things, and maybe, yeah, they're true. But what can you really do about it once it's happened? I mean, sure, we'd love to get things right all the time, every time. But when you just repeat it and stew over it and over and over it, it just layers on, piles on unworthiness, and ultimately makes you feel worse. You know, the thing about a guilt trip is you can send yourself on your own guilt trip, and, you know, that can happen, or you can hear things from others that make you feel bad and make you feel guilty about things. At the end of the day, though, what honestly do you do? What do you do with that? And let's deal with the fact that maybe some of these things, well, you know, you could have changed. I mean, like, I could have been a better friend, and maybe I could have started saving earlier. But if you just beat yourself up over it, how much health and growth can really happen? And this is where there is hope, because I want to show you the difference. I think actually you can invite God into those if only and I should statements, and you can begin to sort out whether this is actually something you can grow from. In fact, what you need to do is you need to know the difference between conviction and condemnation. I realize these are big words, and if you get nothing else from the message today, at least notice this image and notice that conviction is on top, condemnation is on the bottom. And there's a real clear reason why I did that, and it's because conviction is actually a gift from God. Conviction is actually the Holy Spirit weighing on you, pressing on you that, hey, those if only, those I should things that you're struggling with, those are invitations to come back to God and to actually seek forgiveness and reparation if you've done something wrong. Oftentimes, conviction really comes out like in your personal life. I've experienced it a lot just in marriage counseling. In fact, I love to teach premarital couples when I'm doing premarital counseling, like, hey, the most important words you're ever going to learn in your marriage are, I'm sorry, and please forgive me. This is a tip even for you if you've been married for 30 years, right? Like, you can still learn these words, I'm sorry, and please forgive me. Now, I hope that's just scaffolding, and you hang on that, the elements in which you are sorry and the ways in which you need to seek forgiveness from your spouse. But if you say those words in a marital contract, you're actually inviting the other person to join you. Because hopefully then they will say, well, you know what? I'm not perfect. I made a mistake in this argument as well. I'm sorry for ... and please forgive me. And when a couple can do that, they actually complete this cycle, this circle of forgiveness. But this works with all of the if-onlys, all of the areas where we build up guilt and regret. It's an opportunity for forgiveness. Now, condemnation is really the opposite. It's not from God at all. Condemnation is really the lie of the enemy that pushes us away from God. Conviction says, I did something wrong, and I want to come back. Condemnation says, you are what you did wrong, and there's no returning. And that's why condemnation pushes us. It leads us down this very dangerous territory of stay away, isolation, and distance from God. And that is not the invitation of Jesus. In Christ, there is always second chances, fresh starts. Yeah, it may be hard. There may be the need to confess some things and to repent some things. But there's always that opportunity to stand back into the grace that God offers. So how do we do this? Let's not just be technical about this. How do we actually begin to wash these unhealthy, toxic thoughts, especially the unworthy talks from our brains? I want to give you three things that you can do. And the first is very common sense, that if you want to replace the toxic thoughts, you have to replace them with God's word. And this is something that, as a pastor, I encourage people to do all the time. You even heard it in the video that played before the message. Just spending time in God's word on a daily basis. And I love the new year. I feel like the new year is so fresh, and people oftentimes they use this to kind of like, you know, kind of reignite or restart their Bible reading habits. And I really, really do hope that that's you this morning and this new year. But I always like to caution people too that it's not just check, get through the reading of the scripture. The point is never to just get through the scripture. The point is to get the scripture to work through you. And so maybe, you know, maybe if in the past you've been the type of person that you started every January 1 the Bible in a year reading plan, and you made it till about, you know, January 21st or whatever, you know, maybe you kind of bring it back and you say, you know, rather than biting off so much, I want to just kind of get through a small amount of scripture. There's nothing wrong with that. In fact, one of my heroes is a pastor by the name of Eugene Peterson. He wrote the Message Translation Bible. Kind of a real, you know, down-to-earth kind of guy, a real down-to-earth pastor. And he would say that reading God's word is more like eating God's word. That you should actually think of it as something that, kind of like a cow would chew his cud. That's what you should do with scripture. Just a few words. Just kind of allow it to kind of get through you. I'm actually going to give you some scripture this morning. This might be a starting point for you. Maybe this becomes kind of the scripture that you chew on this year, 2026. So you might want to write these down or take a picture of these. The first one is from Romans 8, and it has to deal with that condemnation that we just talked about a minute ago. And it's Romans 8, verse 1. It says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That's a great little verse to memorize. If you struggle with guilt and kind of carrying around conversations and things that people have said, I want to invite you this morning, take your last guilt trip, right? Just take it. Just like all that guilt that people have piled on you, just put it in a bag and you just check it. You just put it on a plane. You're never going where that's going. It's just, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That is a promise from Scripture to you. Let me give you another verse. This one's a little bit longer. This will be a little bit harder to memorize, but I think it's got a lot of like handles and things that we can hold on to. It's the words from Paul in Philippians 4. It says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Now, I've said many times from the stage that sometimes when I get into a list in Scripture, I can get a little exhausted. You might even have heard it in my voice as I was reading through that long Scripture there. It's like, whatever, whatever, whatever. And there's a lot in here. He's giving you all these things that you can begin to think about that can lead you towards praise. And I don't know, there's a lot in there. Whatever's true and noble and right and pure, and this is again where it's like it gets to be kind of long, like how many of these things am I supposed to keep straight in my brain? I don't know about you, but I know these things when I see them. I know when I see truth. I know when I see beauty and things that are lovely. And so I thought, you know, what if this year, what if for some of you, rather than, you know, making this really hard, what if you just, like, took out your phone and you went back through pictures, or every time you saw something pure or noble or beautiful, you just took a picture of it and you stored it in a little folder in your picture album. You do this all the time anyways. And when you're feeling like your thought life is just kind of going down the toilet, down a bad path, and you're trying to remember, what am I supposed to think about? You just pull up your little thoughts folder and you just look at it. Not maybe what pops up is a picture like right now. Could you just imagine a sunset on the beach, like 75 degrees? Just go ahead now. Just sink your toes into the sand like Maui. I've never been to Maui, but I've seen lots of pictures of Maui. Like, I can imagine it like I've been there. Or maybe it's a picture of a friend. Maybe it's somebody's smile. I'm looking at my phone. Just my granddaughter, Hallie, just makes me smile every time I see her cute little face. And you can't think about what to think about, but you've got a folder of pictures that you can go back to time after time and just think about. This is what he's saying. These are the things that are excellent and praiseworthy. Praise, worship, that isn't just what we do on Sunday. That's what we're to do every day, every moment. Let me give you another verse. Last verse is from Colossians 3, verses 2 and 3. Again, this is the writer Paul. He says, "Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things." That's what we've been talking about all morning long, setting our minds on the above. But then he says this, "For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God." Now, if you're not a believer, that's kind of a scary verse, right? For you died? Like, what does that mean? And of course, he doesn't mean physically you've died. He means that spiritually, your old life of sin is gone. That you've put to death your life of sin. The old person is gone, and the new creation, the new person, is here. And your life is now hidden with Christ. It's just this beautiful reality that you can set your mind on the fact that your life is hidden with Christ. Yeah, in life, you've got to have, you know, regular life stuff. You got to pay your bills. I bet most everyone in the room, we got to go to work tomorrow. We got to, you know, do everything that we're called to do. But we can also be hidden with Christ. We can be in this world, but not actually of this world. Let me give you two more things that you can do to just, again, wash these toxic, unworthy thoughts out of your mind. This next one is just to go on a gratitude journey. Just, again, be thinking of things that you're grateful for. And this is a way in which you can train your mind to look up. I've kind of fallen back in love with journaling every morning. I've been kind of writing things down, and very regularly, I'll just write down, like, top five things that I'm grateful, just things I'm grateful for, and just a simple daily little habit of things, and it just interrupts that guilt and unworthiness cycle in my life. Let me give you some things that you can be grateful for. You can be grateful for who God is. You know, you just kind of start thinking about, like, the attributes of God. God is powerful. God is faithful. God is near to me. You can think of the things that God has done for you. You can be grateful that he's taken away your sin. As I said this morning, there's no condemnation. You can be reminded that he's the one who gives you grace and mercy. You should be grateful for just ordinary things. I was thinking this morning how grateful I was. I had steak last night for dinner, venison steak. It was a little overcooked. That was my fault. That's on me. But you know what? It was still really good. Tasted delicious. Be thankful. Be grateful for that. Grateful for a warm bed last night. My body's mostly working the way it should. You know, I'm feeling all right these days. Had a good cup of coffee. Just be grateful for those things. Lastly, be grateful for people. People that believe in you. People that don't give up on you. People that fully know you and still fully love you. People who are patient. They're just prime people to have in your life. Let me give you this last thought. And on this, I'm going to invite the worship team to come up and lead us in a time of reflection. And it's really what we started with at the beginning of this message. Another helpful way to kind of wash these toxic, unhealthy, unworthy thoughts is to invite someone else to come along in that journey with you. And as you heard from Justin, we've got a great ministry called Soul Care. That video that you saw at the beginning is real people in our church that have real lives and real stories. And this is not in any way our attempt to replace counseling. We're not here to be your therapist. We just believe that life is better when you go through the journey of life with other people. And maybe as I'm just kind of like introducing all this topic to you this morning, maybe you've realized that you've been carrying some guilt or some neediness or any of these other talks. You've been carrying them around for a long time. And this is our invitation to just invite someone else to come into your life and to help you unpack these things that you've struggled with. All you have to do is call our office. We've got a very simple intake process, and we would love to help you with this. I'm going to wrap us up by praying for us. If you would bow your heads and pray with me, please. God in heaven, I want to thank you for this day. I want to thank you for this community of people and the opportunity that we have over these next several weeks to just wash our minds and to wash away and then to be renewed with the right mind, the mind of Christ. I pray, God, that we could do that and we could begin to step in the direction of your Son Jesus in healthy and whole ways for our life. So we give you these words and these thoughts now, these thoughts of worship of who you are. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to our podcast today. Check out our app or website at bridgewaycommunity.org for more messages or to take the sermon one step deeper by downloading the sermon discussion guide.